All right. Now, that was my opening statement. If you like it, smile. If you like it, raise your hands. All right. So, we thank God for his mercies, eh? And ask God to bless us today. And this has been a wonderful, wonderful day. And the word of God is wonderful. You don't have to rush. You take your time with your Bibles and begin to learn about God. This morning, Sister Rosie was asking me some very tremendous points about the kingdom. And I think she touches it because some of you were asking Monday night after the Bible class. We have a college, the Berean Bible College, where it'll be very good. If you're missing, you're really missing, try and come because you're going to learn a lot. And one of the things with the churches is that we might get a verse here and a verse here, but we need to be able to understand the order of God. And so she was asking me about the Babylonian captivity and how they went into captivity and so on and what led up to the captivity. One of the things that led up to captivity is that they were not paying their tithe. They were not keeping the Sabbath. And we touch that, and we will touch that as we go along, because we want to educate you if you will listen into the Word of God. People was asking about the millennium. What is the millennium? And they had a little discussion or whatever. They understand it, but the millennium is 1,000 years, all right? America is over 200 years. So you see all that happen. Many things happen during this time. You have the airplane. You have everything going. Jesus is to be given 1,000 years, okay? Not 4 years as the president, or maybe 8 years. But he's to be given 1,000 years to rule and reign on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You getting that? 1,000 years, which is 1,000 is the millennium. Millennium just means 1,000 years. All right? So when someone said 1,000 years, or the reign of Christ, or the millennium, it just means that Jesus will be on the throne of David for 1,000 years, ruling from Jerusalem, Mount Zion, right over there. And during this time, he's going to transform the earth. You won't think like how you think today. We won't act like how we act today. It'll be different. Because during this 1,000 years, if you didn't come up to par, you're not going to get into the eternal kingdom of God when the Father comes down on the white throne judgment. You're just not going to get into it. No one will enter into the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, unless they have the nature of God. Nobody. So what the church is doing is changing us from darkness to light. Delivering us from the power of Satan. See, you got to have a ministry. Somebody said, I can do it by myself. Impossible. I don't care how smart you are, how intelligent you are. You don't know. You have to be schooled by God to be able to deliver somebody from the power of darkness. Or you can preach. Anybody can get up and preach and talk and lecture and say things. But to get into the mind of the Spirit, where you can bring a church into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, it's a different thing. Okay? You can preach and pastor, but to change them from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, that's a different ministry. So you have to know how to lead somebody from darkness to light, because they don't even know they're in darkness, and they argue with you. When you give them words like we've been giving them, that if you had enough light, you'd pay your tithe. They say, no, I just don't feel led to pay my tithe. You don't have to be feel led. The Bible tells you to do it. You don't have to have a special anointing. The Bible, just do what he said. Pay your tithe. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's all. You don't have to have any special revelation. You just write a check. Amen. You take a pen out and you write something. Okay, you write something and then you go, keep going to the right with as many zeros as you want to. That's all. And you pay and you drop it in the offering, put in an envelope, whatever, and drop it. Very simple, isn't it? You don't have to have the anointing. You don't have to have a special, you don't have to have a dream or a vision. The Bible already tells you that, to pay your tithe. And not only it's not a request, it's a command. Bring all. God tells you, and I will do this. Otherwise, if you don't, then you're going to find that your harvest will be eaten up. God said, in other words, you pay me because I'm letting you breathe the air and live on my earth, eat my food, drink my water. God says you pay for that. You pay your landlord, don't it? Well, God is a big landlord that you pay for him. It's not free. Salvation is free, but the water, you have to pay for the water. You have to pay for the breath which you breathe. Pray for the bones, you know, that structure he gave you that make you walk upright. You know he lend you a structure? All right, if one is broken, you'll find out. And God did that for you and help you and help us. So we need to turn to the Lord. And so we're talking about, it's in Acts, the 17th chapter, where he had appointed a day. Somebody might find that for me. Where in the Acts chapter 17 and Acts 17:31. Verse 31. Okay. Verse 29. Read. Go ahead and read. Verse 29. For as much then. Go up a little more and let me see what's there. And I don't have my Bible open to that. But go up a little more. Okay. Verse 24. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marzil and said, ye men of Athens, and there's a real Marzil. I've been there. I've stood on Marzil. So there's a real Marzil in Athens. And boy, it's beautiful overlooking. When you stood up, you can see the sea, the ocean out there. It's beautiful. And I understand it was like a pulpit that they meet out there and discuss, you know, and so on. But I've been there. But all those other guys, they were gone. I didn't see none of them. They were all gone, right? So, but I was there. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marzil and said, ye men of Athens, I've been to Athens, otherwise I couldn't be into Marzil. I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For, go ahead, change. For, as I read on, for as I pass by and behold your devotions, I found an altar. This was a pagan altar. This was not the altar of God. With this inscription, to the unknown God. That means they didn't know him. Well, what's the ministry for? Oh, that I might know him. See, you need a ministry so you know God. He said, oh, pastor, remember now, I'm set here to teach you about God. If I need it, which I don't need right now. My wife is good at that. If I need to know math, then you might be able to teach me math. But right now, I don't need it. Sister Rosie count all my pennies for me. She gives me all my pennies once in a while. So I don't need a math teacher. Or if I need an English teacher, then I'll come to one of you. Marina is over there. Somebody's over there. Brother Kobe's good at language. Right, Kobe? English teacher. See, so I got everything that I need. If I need a cook, Brother Manny's right there. I just got everything in this church that I need. So, for as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. The world still don't know him. Okay? You go to church and you say, Jesus, Jesus, by name. Or you might go to a, come up front and say the sinner's prayer. And you go, you say it and go back. But you don't know him. Okay? You don't understand. Job said, I heard about you. And you can hear about the Lord, but now I see you. That was a different thing. It's one thing to hear about him. That's why I tell you to look at me. Okay? Look at me, because you're going to miss. Okay? You got to steer to teacher. Look at the teacher. Don't write until it's necessary. Okay? Focus on him. To the unknown God. Okay? Whom, therefore, remember now, the unknown God, they didn't know the true God. The true God was the unknown God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, they did not know him. Where it said, whom therefore, look, when you don't know him, what do? You ignorantly worship him. You think you're worshiping him right, but you're not. So you have to know him. So Paul said, oh, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship, look, of his suffering. And be conformable unto his death. So there are stages in knowing God. Somebody say, oh, but my brother knows God. And the guy don't even know how to come to church. the lady hardly even come to church. I mean, they come to church, they sleep. And there's no joy in their hearts. They don't have that experience in their heart. That intimate relationship, they don't have that. They don't have their mind. They sit down and their mind wanders. They cannot focus on God. They're distracted. Because when you know him, you love him. Hallelujah. Look, when you know him, you get excited. I was glad when they said to me, do you have that experience when they say unto me, let us go into the house of God? There's a joy came over you or come over you. So I passed to the unknown God. Paul said, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Paul said, you don't know him, and because you don't know him, you think you're worshiping right, but you're ignorantly worshiping him. But I would like to correct that. Amen. He said, I'd like to bring you into a knowledge. I'd like to teach you how to know him. That's what this church is about. Amen. That you could not ride over this building to the unknown God. Because when you come in this church, you could say, my God, I can feel God. God is in this place of a truth. And there's a joy in your heart. You love God better than how you love yourself. And you know why you can't praise God? Because you love yourself too much. You're a person that's filled up with themselves, can't raise their hands. They cannot clap their hands. They cannot say, praise the Lord. You almost have to force them. Because they're bound up in themselves. But when you love Jesus and you begin to step out of yourself and begin to step into God, you'll find a different spirit coming over you. So Paul said, I want to declare him to you. God, hey, are you listening now? Then he goes back to Genesis. In the beginning, God. Are you with me? It's God all over. In the beginning, God. Without God, without him, there is no beginning. God that made the world and all things therein. If you can understand that, nobody would have to beg you for tithe and offering. Because God made it. God made that paycheck. The very paper it's written on, God made it. Everything's written by him. And he says that he made the world therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. He owns everything. If he's Lord, dwell it not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with man's hands. As though, look at this, what I was saying, Malachi. As though he needed anything. Is there anything you can give to God? Huh? Is there anything you can give to God that he needs? No, he does not. He doesn't need anything. You are the one, and we are the one. When we give to God, it's open up the door so God give us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You're not giving anything to God. And the Queen of Sheba brought so much. You think when she went back rejoicing. As though he needed anything. He doesn't need anything. Somebody say, oh, I'll give to God and all the complaint. He doesn't need it. The kingdom of God, if you want to read it, read the end chapter of Revelation. How many people worship in God and in the kingdom? Multitudes. So whether you and I are there or not, it's already an accomplished fact. But I want to be there. And I don't want to just make it by the skin of my teeth. I want an abundance of entrance. Woo! I want an abundance of entrance to be ministered unto me. I want God to open up the door to teach me more. Before I breathe my last breath, Joni, I want to know God more. I don't want to leave this world just barely make it into the kingdom of God. I like the thief on the cross that accepted the Lord, but I want to have more time with God on this side, not just a day. Amen? And while you have strength, ask God to help you, to touch your mind. And you love God where many times you don't want to sleep. You fight sleep so you can learn more. Well, why should I spend all my time sleeping when I was going to say I have 1,000 years in the grave to sleep? Are you all going to get a long rest if you 1,000 years of rest in the grave? It's a long sleep. And maybe you better careful because some's going to get more. The rest of the dead live not again, so they have more than 1,000 years. I don't know how long that will be. But I want to come out in the first resurrection. Have you ever heard that? The first resurrection. Because blessed and holy is he that have part in the first. Number one resurrection. There are two resurrections. First and second. Everybody knows that, right? One, two. First, second. If you don't come in the first resurrection, second death has power over you. Because there are two deaths. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's first death. Okay? But second death, death number two, is at the end of the 1,000 years. And that has power over you. That means there's no resurrection. Finish it. From second death. But there's a resurrection from first death. What is first death? When they wheel you in air and you're in a little box and they take you out there, that's first death. Amen? That's for the body. But at the resurrection, you are raised from the dead, never to die anymore. But if you didn't raise at the first resurrection, then second death hold you until the white throne judgment. Revelations 20, that's what we're talking about. So, the first resurrection, are you listening now? The first resurrection is at the start of the millennium or the 1,000-year reign of Christ. In other words, when Christ begins to reign, there's a resurrection because it's the resurrection that establishes the kingdom. Without the kingdom, There would, without the resurrection, there would not be a kingdom. Because at the resurrection, the saints of God are gathered from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Now, the resurrection gives you a different body.
Hallelujah.
It's true. All right, in the resurrection, you're going to look the same so you can be recognized. You'll always be Sister Rosie. Well, you don't have to be necessarily short because it tells you you can grow. You can grow in from glory and grow in Him and the grace of God and length, breadth, depth, and height. You can get a little taller. So there's hope for the short term ones. So, but anyway, the first resurrection, are you getting it? Number one resurrection, number one. Anybody know what the number one is, right? The number one resurrection is a blessed and holy resurrection. Hallelujah. I made it. And there's no more dying, no more sickness, no more crying, no more death. For the former things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. That's just ahead of us. Somebody say, oh, that's written. No, no. It's closer than you think because that first resurrection comes when the ten-toed kingdom is destroyed by the little stone. At the coming of the little stone, which is Christ and His saints, because we're living stones. Stones of fire that makes up that kingdom. So He establishes kingdom with different beings than what was in the four kingdoms, Babylon, Medes, Persian, and so on. Those four kingdoms were flesh and blood. But the kingdom of God is established with overcomers that are not flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But these are like the second Adam. The first Adam was made a living soul, flesh and blood involved. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. God is a spirit. In other words, God is spirit. So the people that God is looking for, they are spirits. They are spirits. So that's why God came. That's why Christ came. And when He gave you the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, the fire inside of you, that consume the old nature and implant a new nature in you, that is spirit. Are you listening now? He said, but I'm still flesh. Only to hold you in this dimension. Because the spirit without the body, or the body without the spirit, is dead. If the body dies, the spirit leaves this dimension. It's the body that holds us here. When you came into this dimension, I was going to say you have to have permission. You had to have permission. You had to have an entrance into this dimension. And you exit out. The dimension was a seed plants into your mother's womb. For 9 months. Then you're given a birth, the birth passage, and give you a right into this earth. Otherwise, you couldn't be here. That's why angels, when they tried to be here, they got in trouble. They were not given a birth passage to get in here. So even Jesus could not come and be your Savior unless He had a womb, a passage to enter into. He did not need an earthly father, but He needed a womb, a mother. All He needs was the Holy Ghost to come upon His mother Mary, and here He came after 9 months. And all we need is the Holy Ghost to come upon us and touch the womb of our heart and implant a new man inside of us. Are you listening now? And that gives us an entrance as a spirit being into the kingdom of God. That's why he said, you must, help me somebody, are you listening? You must be born again. Why? Because he that is born of the flesh remains into this dimension. But it takes another birth to get us out. One more birth, and that's the resurrection. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, and you're born of the spirit is spirit. Now we are going into a spirit birth. Have you received the Holy Ghost? That's a spirit birth. Since you believe. The Holy Ghost puts us, you're born of the spirit. So you have a new nature. Now you are a son or a daughter of God. Okay, well, I still have my flesh body, only because the work is not finished. And you have to have it to hold you here. Otherwise, if it's taken away, you're gone. So you have that to keep you here. Amen? Amen. See, but you have a spirit body that's waiting for you. Where? Eternally in the heaven. So if the earthly house of this tabernacle were to be destroyed, and it's going to be destroyed by worms. Worm food. Don't look at me like that. That's all we are, worm food without God. You don't believe that? You know it's the truth. Worm eat you up. And there's no hope. Read Job. You ever read Job? That's all the flesh is. You pride it and you don't want to serve God. And you don't want to lay. You give everything to your flesh. It's like you go, then you powder your flesh. Put it on nice. But it's still flesh. Get in the way, you blow, and I see you, and everything nice, but it's still flesh. Underneath it is ugly. You wash your face off and you see how ugly. I'm not talking about everybody, but you know, some people. Because I know some people are uglier than some. Anyway, but we have a body. That's why we don't worry about this one. You have to take care of it. But this is not the only one that you have. Okay, so this one is wearing out. But you have another one that cannot be worn out. Just like how you were born in this world naturally to a mother, but now you have to be born by the Spirit into that world. It's called a spirit birth. And that's why you get the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Spirit, that is a spirit birth. Now, these are the children that God will have in the kingdom. Jesus will have spirit. Are you listening? Jesus will have spirit being in the kingdom. You can recognize that there's Letty over there, there's Tati over there, but with a new body, a glorious body, a different mind. You'll have the mind of Christ, and you cannot die anymore. Oh, you might look like flesh, but you're not flesh. You're spirit. Because what God does, the new man that is implanted in the flesh body, only God can do it. He takes it out, he translates it, and deposits it into that body that you have laid up for you. It's called a building. And that's when you send up praises to God, if you're building, you're working on your building up there. Amen. Even clap your hands. Whatever you do, you're building. You're sending up material. My God, I feel like shouting. Oh, my Lord, I feel like praising God. Hey, I feel like clapping my hands and Say, thank you, Lord. Now, let me hurry. What the church could not do, the church age cannot do, the kingdom will do it. Because the church cannot make you come to church, but the kingdom makes you come to church. Amen. Amen. The church cannot make you praise the Lord, but the kingdom makes you praise the Lord. Are you listening now? The church don't make you obey, but the kingdom will make you obey. Because the kingdom is ruled with a rod of iron. What do you use the rod for? Spanking. And you can take the rods out of this school, but you cannot take the rod out of the kingdom. Now, during this 1,000 years, let me go on. Leader is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything seen. Look what he did. He don't need you. He gives you life. Hey, the breath you're breathing right now, if he doesn't give you, you die with a heart attack or something before you reach the door. If he holds back your breath for how many? A little over 10 minutes? You're what? Clinically, and what's the other one? By death. You have two deaths. When clinically and biologically dead. Come on, somebody ought to hear me. Biologically dead, right? Okay, where's my Google Ask Google? You can't smart me, no. I just go ask Google upstairs. I do have a Google. I'm going to ask them. Before you think you have me, you're smart. I got upstairs. I do, huh? See? And what? Yeah, you don't understand. Ask. Tell me what time it is. Tell me I want something. They tell me. Yeah. Everything. So, I'm moving forward. I'm moving on up. Emily on the east side. I'm moving on up there. Yeah, right. Apartment in the sky. You know, they're laughing. They don't think I do. I do. Google. What time should I have my breakfast? Will you wake up Sister Rosie for me? At 6 o'clock in the morning? That's all. 6 o'clock in the morning. Sister Rosie. I'm just joking, but I have it. I didn't even pray for it. I just got it. Not yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Progress. But let's go back here and begin before I begin to wind it down. Neither is worship with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he give it all. Help me. Life. Satan, I say it loud. You have to get these words and say them. See, look at me. Say, come on. Seeing he give it all. Life. Say life. Life. And the other one is bread. Life and bread. Now, how much are you going to pay for your life and your bread? How much? Come on, tell me. Be fair. He gave you that life. And the same bread you're getting all upset over the tithe and offering, he gave it to you. You're breathing the bread, right? Hey, and I give my tithe and offering. And I give my tithe. I almost choked, Joni. He gave you, but look at it. He gave you even a pastor. Look at that, a Jamaican. Come on. This church, you're blessed. Look at me. I mean, you know, look at me. Mr. Intellectual. Now, Rebecca, you're ignoring me. Are you listening now? Come on. Now she's looking at me now. But he gave it. He gave you whatever you need. And God saw the pastor you need. Tall, dark, and handsome. There I go again. That was in the flesh. Whether in the body or out of the body, that came forth. I don't know. I cannot tell. We're having fun, aren't we? Sometimes we do have fun. You know, somebody said, you can't. Yes, we do have fun. But he give it, I like this. He give it all things. Life and breath. Next, no, I need something right here. Go back. Life and breath and all. Oh, hello, look at that. If you can believe that he gives you all things. Oh, Jesus. I can tell when God is giving me something. I can tell when the Lord is saying yes to me. Next verse. And that made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. Now, I'd like to, and I'm not, and I don't correct the Bible or nothing like that. But I'd like to just insert something right there. Where he had made of one blood. Because if you go take your blood, everybody's got a different DNA. Right? So you understand that part. But it's of one clay. But they put blood, but it's really of one clay. Clay. One clay he took. But everybody's got a different blood. If you don't believe that, different DNA. You can have a child somewhere, and you might deny it. They're not going whether the child look like you or not. All they have to do is take a sample from that child and a sample from you, and they can tell, boy, you better pay your child support. That is your baby. Might not look from you, look like you. A little bit cross-eyed, I mean. But that's your pickney. In Jamaica, we say pickney. Pickney mean baby. They would say, that's not my pickney. Because in those days, it don't look like me. But today, they don't have to ask you if it's your pickney or not. They just take some blood sample, and they know it's yours. And you might run, but you can't hide because child support is almost on the same category as the IRS on murder or death. That's all I'll say about that thing. Child support is the scariest word, right? I dealt with a lot of cases. Child support. There's a man one time that was over $100,000. You think he could sleep? They never go away. Even when you retire, you can never retire. I wish you could retire from child support, but you can't. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. Even if you're in prison or you're, or I guess you're dead. That's the only way of escape. Anyway, look, this is only a lesson here. I'm kind of putting here, but I show you. And I made of one blood all nations of men, because the blood is important. Okay, the blood is important. But he made is a clay. Everybody got different DNA. I thought, just thought I'd say that. For to dwell, where? Everybody, I'm going to be gone to heaven? No, you're going to dwell on the face of the earth where Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. Did you know that you couldn't be born one day early than when? Your birthday. You could not. You know your birth certificate. You know what day you were born? That was determined. And here you are. And the city, the state, oh, you can migrate. But he determined where you were born, who your parents were. How come your mother and father met at that time? And they might be from different countries. And she might be just here to visit on a vacation for a week. And she determined that, well, I just go to the mall and walk. Something's going to happen. Or she's driving even incidents. And before you know it, you bump in her car and scratch her car. And she said, well, I need your address and phone number. And you say, I need yours too. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Things happen to bring when it's time for you to be born or that person to be born, not accident. Okay, are you following now? So, the same thing in the kingdom of God. It's not an accident that you're in church, that you meet the pastor at this time, because you need to be born again. And now, he's going to have to give you the word or the seed of the word of God that you will be born and developed into the image of God. What is he doing today? He's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about a new man, a new birth. Something birthed inside of you. Something inside of you that's born of the Spirit. And not only that, but every pastor is a babysitter. Boy, and some babies are real rough. You ever have a no rough baby? They cry in the day. They cry at night. Something is always wrong with them. You put them down, they cry. You take them up, they cry. You laugh with them, they cry more. You ever seen those kind of baby? And there's some in the church is the same way. Complain and cry, and you always have to, where's Johnny now? What corner is in the, he's pulling out the pots. He's doing something like that. He's tearing up the church. I mean, the babies. You don't know your spiritual babies? Huh? They never grow up. But those that have grown up, see, look here. From time to time, you stand here and you see people get up here and deliver a word. I say, my God, they're growing. I heard that Wednesday night. I heard that this morning. They're growing. You can tell when they're growing. Why? Because they're feasting on the word. You got to get them off milk and give them the sincere word of God. So, this is what, listen. That they should seek, listen what I'm doing now, that they should what? There's the key. You have to seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord, if aptly, they might feel after him. You see what you have to do? He's not just come to church, sit and walk, and then you don't pay attention, you're going back. No, you're not doing anything. You're wasting your time. But you got to feel after God. You got to seek after God. And when you seek him, you'll find him. And said, feel after him and find him. Do you get what you have to do? You have to seek after him. It's not just the pastor saying, raise your hands and clap your hands. That's not seeking God. It's when the devil attack you and you know you're under attack. But what do? You don't give up. You don't sit down. You don't miss church. But you begin to ask for me and my house. Are you listening? Ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. You don't let the devil in your house. You don't compromise. You don't compromise with sin and wrong. When someone is wrong, you say, that's wrong. Hello, whose side are you on? I said, whose side are you on? Come on, church. Whose side are you on? You tell the devil, you're not going to stop me from hearing the word of God. You're not going to stop me from seeing the word of God. Do you understand you're in a battle? You're fighting, not flesh and blood.
I didn't know I was fighting. Yes, you are. Look at your side. You got a sword, don't you? Yes. Do you have an helmet on? Yes. Do you have a shield on? Yes. Do I have a breastplate on? Yes.
Do you got the sword of the Spirit?
Yeah. But what do I do with it?
Fight. Fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Not just sit there. Fight. Fight, but this is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. Lay hold, come here, quickly. Fight the good fight of faith.
Fight. Because I'm going to fight. I'm going to try and stop you from going in the kingdom. Come on.
No.
Yes, I'm going to.
You can't.
Like you're winning. Come on, when you stop. I got you when you stop. Lay hold. Come on. Lay hold. Lay hold of eternal life. No, you're not going to leave me. Oh, stay with me. You got to fight. And lay hold, wrestle. You're not leaving me. I'm going to church. I've got life. I'm going to serve. Woo. I'm going to serve God. Oh, you have to fight. I will not let you go. Jacob said to the angel, let me go. The morning is coming. I got to go. No. You're staying until you bless me. That's what you do. Oh, no. You're not leaving until you bless me. Does anybody want blessing? I said, does anyone want a blessing? Well, you have to fight. The good fight of faith. You have to lay hold of eternal life. When everybody else is sleeping, as Brother Andre was saying this morning, giving us some example of reaching out to God, realizing that I'm in a battle. Can't put my armors down.
Yeah.
No. But even when you drink water, what do? You hold on to the sword and you scoop it up with one hand. You hold on to your and you scoop it up. And you drink out of the hand of the apostles, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. Yeah. Hey, come on. You got to drink from the fountain. Drink from the river. A hand is feeding you. You have to have a hand that scoop it up for you from the water, the river of life, and then you drink out of it. Well, I can't just scoop it. No. You need somebody to get in there and take it up on you. Right? You just don't throw away your armor and fall on your face. But you kneel down, hold on to your armor, and scoop up. You drink out of a hand. Whose hands are you drinking out of? The hand of the apostles, pastors. What did he do for you today? Did he get into the river and take up some water? And now you said, I feel refreshed. Closing, that they should seek the Lord. I like this. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God is not far. If you begin to praise him, you get up in the morning and you spend some time with God, you find out. Tell him your troubles. Tell him your problem. But we rather hold on and tell and text and send to somebody. They can't help you. Human being, that's like worshiping idols. They can't do a thing for you. Are you listening now? Eh? Grandma, cousin, uncle, aunt. Who else? In-laws, outlaws. Can't do nothing for you. The matter of fact, they just spread you and gossip. And when it's over, you feel, my what did I tell that long tongue gossipy? You didn't know the tongue was like that, right? Uh-huh. See, that's your problem. You don't know the tongues is set on the fire of hell. So you just throw all your problem in hell. When they come at you. Don't tell them. Tell it to Jesus. Get down on your face. He said, but they're my relatives. Oh, those are some of the worst ones. Did you know that sometimes your cousins and your uncles and your... Well, I was going to say sisters and brothers. You trust your sisters and brothers more than you love the church or trust the church or the pastor. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, it's all over. You're dry. And you don't have a word. You're dry. Dry bones. But when you lay your problem at the feet of King Jesus. Is that's the last spring? For an enemy, look at that. You want to know your place, where you are? Huh? You just in Merced bodily, but you're living in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said. Your poets have said, for we are also, this is powerful, for we are also, you're not saying it, for we are also what? Is what? Offspring of God. All right, brother Andre, do you have an offspring? Yeah, I'm coming to that. Do you have an offspring? Prove it. Stand up who? Approve it. Are you related to him? That man over there. You know him? Are you sure now? What? Is he related to him? Who is he? Huh? Is he sure? Say it loud. Come on, say it loud. Who is he? So you are his. Give it up for that. Now, here's the closing points. How do you know you are his offspring? What proof do you have? You came from him. Can you imagine when the scriptures say we are the offspring of God, what it means? I just explained it. I said I just explained it. Do you know where you came from? You are the offspring. Or if you got it, you'd be shouting, but you didn't get it. You didn't get it. Children of God, offspring of God. You belong to him. He plants the seed into the womb, into of your heart. And they conceive a child of God. That once you were corruptible, we were fallen in the first Adam, but now he raised us up, translate us up out of the first Adam into the last Adam. And we are sons of the living God. And you who were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light of the Lord. Okay, it's only a lesson. You are the sometimes the offspring of that man over there. But now, spiritually, you are an offspring of God because you're born again. Okay, in closing, last verse. For as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by arch of man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded every man everywhere to repent. Because, there's the verse I wanted, because. The millennium day. Remember we talked about the millennium? There it is. Because, everybody help me, look at me now. Because he had appointed a day. What day? The 1,000 years, the millennium day, right? Revelations 20, that day of the Lord. He had appointed, that's God. Now when God make an appointment like, tomorrow I go to the doctor. Tomorrow. It's an appointment. But I made it before. So God has made an appointment. That all these kingdoms will come to an end, right, at a certain time. They cannot go over the time. He had appointed a day in the which he will judge, that the judgment at the millennium, the start of the millennium, he will judge the world how? In righteousness, not unrighteousness, by that man, who is that man? Consider how great this man was. By that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given us assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. Was he raised from the dead? That's your assurance. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter.
So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, look at that. Look at it. There's always somebody going to believe. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him. That's the secret. And believe. Among the which was Dandasius and the Areopagites and a woman. And a woman named, put your name in there. And a woman named who? Damaris and others with them. Put your name in there. You clave to the word of God. You hold on to the word of God. Are you with me now? And a woman named, that put your name in it. And said, I'll never depart from the word of God. God bless you today. I think that I've said enough.